Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hello. Welcome. The Huddle, ESPN Upstate, on the air for Thursday, the 24th of May. Already the 24th of May. Memorial Day weekend. I'm getting a little ahead of myself. Memorial Day weekend coming up.
Yeah, jumping the gun there. It's okay, though.
Isn't rain all weekend? Is that the deal? The whole holiday weekend?
I believe it's supposed to rain all weekend here. Doesn't mean you have to stay here, though. You could probably go somewhere else.
I guess. But, yeah, I mean, look, you got the extended weekend and the showers come in.
Are there times, though, when you get excited when you see rain in the forecast on the weekend?
Because you can't do yard work or what?
Yeah, you just get to lay around, just chill,
yeah,
just lay low.
So you keep talking about your grass. I bet mine's equaling yours right now. I keep looking at it like, man, I need to get out there.
I finally cut mine yesterday afternoon and got my son out there to finally start learning how to cut grass also.
Wow. You know what? I'll give you my address and you can teach him some more.
Good Ooh. Life skill there.
Yes, it is.
All right, coming up today in the Huddle, we'll get to the NBA last night. Another interesting game to talk about, and we will do that. The hockey last night. Don't ask. I got busy.
He got busy.
I got
this
busy.
Game 7.
It wasn't that good. Was it 4-0?
No, see, yeah, it was a blowout. I turned it off.
I knew he would watch, so I turned it over once. Yeah. But I turned it over one time. It was 1-0 when I turned it over.
Anyway, we'll hear from Barry Melrose, the hockey guy for ESPN. And we have our Stanley Cup Finals set for the NHL. Baseball, man, Clemson poured it on yesterday. What a game yesterday for the Tiger Bats. They just went crazy on Notre Dame yesterday. And mercy rule was implemented.
I thought that was a joke when I saw that.
No, they did.
I didn't realize they had mercy rule in college baseball.
Yeah, they do that. And they needed to because they had another game to play. Yeah, and they needed to play it sometime.
And so that's the only reason, because it's in tournament play?
I don't know.
They don't have mercy rule during the regular season, do they?
Hey, Notre Dame was ready to go home. They just were.
It was almost like a football score.
After that one inning, they're like, can we stop? And they just wouldn't let them.
So. Yeah. Well, Notre Dame led early, but didn't last. So Clemson advances. They will play Miami tonight, 6:45 airtime, 7 o'clock. The scheduled first pitch. Got a note from the Clemson Network earlier today that said there'll probably be a delay. Just so you know, because all these games are running long, and the time between the games is mandatory, so well, they start about 3:20 yesterday. It's supposed to be 3 o'clock, and then had that crazy inning. So,
yeah, not to mention the lightning yesterday. Yeah, it wasn't rain. Right. It was lightning.
Right. So who knows what time Clemson and Miami will actually play. Right now, the airtime is set for 6:45 for the Tigers. But they're off to a good start in the ACC tournament in Durham. South Carolina lost yesterday to Arkansas. They play again this afternoon. That is scheduled to start at 2 o'clock. We'll keep an eye on that one for you. Got the old SEC network up for that one for the Gamecocks because they're facing elimination after the loss yesterday to Arkansas. We'll talk about that coming up. You know, they announced a new soccer team for Greenville last month in March, or in April, rather. And we hadn't spent a lot of time on that, so we're going to talk to those guys at 2 o'clock this afternoon and fill you in on Greenville Pro Soccer to begin play in 2019. Next March, we will have soccer, professional soccer in Greenville. So they've got a lot going on to get ready for that, and we'll check in with those guys coming up, including Doug Irwin, at 2:04 this afternoon. There is news from North Carolina basketball on Luke May. We'll pass that along. Diddy will join us in studio at 3:20 this afternoon. We'll have three questions at 3 o'clock this afternoon. And we'll take your calls and your texts and your tweets here in the Huddle, as always, 844-477-3776. Text line 71307, keyword ESPN at the beginning, please. And Twitter, at ESPN Upstate. Well, we said Boston had to get off to a good start, and they did against Cleveland. 32-19 in the first quarter. After that, it was dead even. But Cleveland could not recover from the 13-point lead they surrendered in the first quarter, and they lose by 13. 96-83 was the final last night, and it was basically the LeBron show for the Cavs. Again, 26 points. That's not a high total for LeBron, but the problem is they didn't get much out of other people again. Kevin Love with 14 points, the only other Cav in double figures in last night's game. Got a little bit off the bench, but not a ton. And for the Boston Celtics, they did what they do with some balanced scoring. It was Tatum with 24 points on 7 for 15 shooting. They got 15 from Al Horford. They got 17 from Brown. Marcus Smart with 13. Morris with 13 points for the Celtics. So the Celtics now lead the series 3-2 in the NBA East. Jason Tatum, after the game, talking about what he has learned in these playoffs.
How important every game, every possession, you know, the smallest things matter, especially in the playoffs. You know, and how tough it is to close out games. We've had a couple situations this playoffs where we've been up three, let, you know, guys hit threes, go into overtime. I mean, it's tough to finish out games. You know, you got to give it your all until there's 0 seconds left on the clock.
So this is going 7 games, isn't it? That's where we're headed with this series, right?
It seems that way. Boston looks good at home. They look horrible in the playoffs on the road, though.
How does Cleveland break the home court advantage deal here, though? If Cleveland wins game 6 and we're 3-3, game 7's in Boston, how do they break that?
I have a solution. First of all, fire Ty Lue because he cannot coach worth crap. Second of all, take J.R. Smith, put him in street clothes, put him behind the bench, don't let him anywhere near the court at all because he is useless. And the reason why I say this about Ty Lue, who had the hot hand the game before? Kyle Korver. How much did he play? Not enough.
19 minutes.
Not enough. I don't think he saw the court till like somewhere in the second quarter, and not for very long, but you kept bringing out stinking J.R. Smith, couldn't hit a shot, couldn't do anything, couldn't pass the ball, couldn't dribble, couldn't even foul anybody correctly. He needs to be gone. Gone. Put Nance in there. When Nance got in there, yeah, he had a little scuffle, got some technicals, but they started to get feisty after that for a little while, started to work their way back in. So what do? We'll sit Nance down. We don't need it. We don't want to come back and win this game. No.
It is a concern when Korver plays fewer minutes than Smith, isn't it?
Definitely.
The way they're both playing.
Listen, part of this is emotion, but part of this, I'm dead serious. I do not understand why J.R. Smith is on the court. Any other sport, if someone's ineffective for the majority of the game, you set their butt down when you got other people on the bench who come off the bench and provide a spark. I don't get it. And, you know, Ty Lue said the day before, well, maybe we played Kyle Korver too many minutes. Mm. And everyone thought he was joking. He was not joking.
He's setting Korver up to be ready for game
Is
6
that
and
what he's
7.
Doing? Okay.
Yes.
All right, fine.
Korver's 37 years old.
Yeah.
He's got to make sure he's well rested for game 6 and 7. He's going to need him.
Speaking of being well rested, is LeBron worn out?
I don't have any concern with LeBron being worn out. Is he physically tired? Of course he is. He's had a long playoff. He's had a long season. It's 15th year in the NBA. Yeah, he's fatigued, but I don't have any issues of LeBron not going to have enough in the tank for game 6.
You know, he looked like someone who is mentally tired. He looked like someone sitting over going, my God, if Ty Lue's here next year, I'm going to L.A. There is no way I'm staying here. I'm sorry. He looked a little tired. I thought maybe he had like the flu or something, but he looked more mentally upset. You see his head and his hands quite a bit. I don't know if that was tired or just like I can't do everything.
They got him some rest in the second quarter, which is somewhat unusual. Lue was going to start him in the fourth quarter after some rest at the end of the third, but James was not ready to return. And that left him and Kevin Love on the bench at the same time. That's probably not what you want.
Probably not. Something else about Kevin Love, he got in early foul trouble without fouling. I mean, they showed the replay over and over again. He did one of those where he pulled his arms in. He didn't set a hard pick or anything. The guy brushed by him and got the foul. Can you guys explain hometown reffing? How does that exist in the NBA? Because don't the same crew travel from town to town?
But they're intimidated by the fans.
What is that?
They're scared.
Why can't they call a game consistently? Why is it different depending on what arena they're in?
Yeah.
It does make you think that the crowd has something to do with it.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of human nature to lean a certain way with the crowd screaming in your ear. So I don't know that we should be shocked by that, but it shouldn't be blatant. You know, LeBron James had 6 turnovers last night. It's kind of bad night there.
Early on, he was having some of those turnovers. Mm-hmm. Bad passes, trying to thread the needle too much, even on some of his bounce passes. Didn't look the same LeBron.
Yeah, the stuff we were talking about Golden State doing when they lost a couple nights ago, not this last one, where they were just kind of look like we got this kind of thing. I think LeBron kind of has that a little bit because he's getting more and more turnovers every game, and it's always those kind of passes where it's a no-look pass or something like that, and the guys aren't there, and I don't think it's those guys' fault. I think his head's not in it sometimes.
The only series that we have seen the Cavaliers play consistent game in, game out is the Toronto series when they swept them. During this series and in the Indiana series, the Cavaliers, they were two different teams depending on what night it was that they played. And that's just what you're seeing here. And that's why I do suspect this is going to game 7. And can LeBron will his team through in game 7?
In Boston.
Yep. In Boston.
Going to be tough. Break the trend.
But if there's somebody who can do it, he can do it. Nobody thought that they would be able to take 2 games on the road in Toronto, the number 1 seed, and they were able to do it. In 61 playoff series, LeBron has won at least 1 road game. So this would be the first time that he wouldn't do it if he loses game 7. Right. That's presuming that they actually get to game 7.
We're already counting game 6.
That's right, we are.
Well, I think I heard this morning that they're favored to win at home. The Cavs are favored to win at home by 6, I believe.
Mm. That wouldn't surprise me.
That wouldn't surprise me either. For whatever reason, Boston is just horrible in the playoffs right now on the road.
Yeah.
During the regular season, it was not that way. They were 28-13 during the regular season.
If you're going to lose a series anyway, would you just want to just go ahead and get it over with?
Well, I mean, how can you determine that?
I know you can't. I know you can't. But as a fan, if you're a fan of a team and you know, and your team's going to lose anyway, and would you rather them losing 6 or losing 7?
Man, this is just you want to go as long as you can. This is to get to the NBA Finals.
How does this affect LeBron James's legacy? Would it be better for him just to go ahead and lose this series rather than get to the finals and lose in the finals again?
I don't see how.
Why? Because we only remember when you lose in the finals. Nobody remembers
that you don't even get there.
That you don't even get there.
Oh, they will him. Well, he went to 7 straight finals, but he couldn't do it the 8th time. The haters, they will find a way to
Nobody talks about Michael Jordan being 1-9 in his playoff series before.
Because Michael Jordan, they won 6. Is sacred, and you can't do that.
Well, that's my point, is that but nobody remembers that. Do people remember that Michael Jordan didn't come back from basketball and then immediately start winning the next 3 championships? The Bulls lost in the playoffs. Was it Orlando Magic, I think, in the 2nd round when he came back from baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And then they went on their 3-game streak. So that legacy of 6-0, it could have been tarnished if Michael Jordan gets to the finals and loses to the Houston Rockets that year.
Yeah.
So could it be the same with LeBron? Is it better for his legacy to take a loss against Boston here? Nobody's going to remember this.
You're
only
going to
remember the finals.
You think it's better to lose now than lose in the finals?
People remember the finals. Look at the record that they talk about. Michael Jordan 6-0. They talk about LeBron's 3-5 record.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about the finals.
All right. Tonight, Golden State and Houston, game 5, 2 apiece in that one, 9 o'clock is the tip-off in that one. This game's in Houston tonight. So, I mean, Golden State find themselves in a similar position.
I think Golden State could be in some serious trouble right now because there's also the issue of health.
Iguodala, what do we know?
Iguodala, still questionable if he's going to play. Klay Thompson, is he going to be 100%?
Mm-hmm.
Steph Curry at least seems to be playing at 100%, but you don't know. And typically a dynasty, if they lose, it's because of egos get in the way or some type of injuries derail the dynasty.
Yeah, Andre Iguodala listed officially as questionable. He did participate in some of yesterday's practice. Steve Kerr said he is feeling better. He is making progress. They hope he can play. We don't know yet. As far as Klay Thompson with the left knee strain in game four, he kept playing, of course. He went through the entire practice yesterday, listed as questionable, but team officials are saying he will play. How well will he play? That's the question.
That's the question.
Yeah, they need him.
And I think if Houston wins tonight, I think they got a good shot of taking the series.
Yeah. Yeah, I do too. Game four was big for Houston. Huge. I mean,
it showed that they could win on the road in Oracle Arena, where, again, since Kevin Durant's been there, 16 straight wins in the playoffs for Golden State. That was a huge win for them on the road.
We will have most of that game for you tonight, depending on Clemson. I shouldn't promise we'll have most of that game because Clemson can get
pushed. Who knows with the
till midnight
with the baseball? Yeah, exactly.
But we'll be joining what's left of the NBA game after the Clemson baseball game with Miami tonight.
That's another reason why baseball should be 7 innings. Do away with these 9-inning games.
Baseball should be 7 innings played on identical fields around the country. And what else?
Now you're buying
now you're
into
talking.
The
hey, Richmond,
voice of reason.
The Clemson game yesterday was 7 innings.
That's right.
I know.
Congratulations.
It's beautiful, right?
Yeah,
it was,
really? Do you know when that thing ended?
Yeah, but you had a 46-minute rain delay.
You did.
So there you go.
And a lot of scoring that slowed it down. Quite a bit. All right. We will have Clemson baseball for you, followed by what's left of the NBA game tonight with Golden State Warriors and the Houston Rockets tied at 2 games apiece. We're going to get to the hockey coming up. Yes, there was a big hockey game last night. If you want to jump on board, 844-477-3776. Text line 71307. Be right back. The Huddle, ESPN Upstate. Welcome back to The Huddle, ESPN Upstate.
Hey, Greg, I hate to interrupt, but I just got to say something real quick.
Say it.
Don't you hate those guys who say they're not very good at something when they just nearly qualified for something? Some guy over here, some golfer, oh, I'm not very good at it.
What did he nearly qualify for?
In the Pro-Am, didn't you guys nearly qualify for
that? No, we finished like 11th. It had to be the top five.
11 out of how many?
12?
No. Was it really?
No, I'm joking.
It was more than, I'm just saying, no. Richmond.
It was much more than
Richmond's
that.
Being that guy, that modest guy. Well, I'm not really that good.
No.
You got to be pretty good to.
No, here's what you do, Alonzo.
The handicap.
There's a handicap here.
That's right.
And
the pro helped me.
And Richmond overstated greatly his handicap, so that helped
okay.
him. So he comes. What'd you say your handicap was?
It's 20, but they gave me 21.
They gave you 21, and it's really probably what 12.
No, it's a good 18 to 20.
See, I understand handicap in bowling, but I don't understand the handicap.
That's the free shots you get, basically.
Yes.
Okay.
You know, you're starting at par with a handicap of 21, and you got 21 shots. Oh,
and that was the beauty of it, that, yeah, I could get a par, and it's a birdie.
Yeah.
And that helped us.
He's basically getting a shot of hole.
So what's it mean when they say you're a scratch golfer? What's that mean?
It's basically your shooting par.
Par golfer.
Okay.
You're really good. That's what it means.
All right. Very good. You're consistent. So, you can hit the ball.
So you're
really
not
well.
That.
No.
But how do you get a handicap? No. You have to play a bunch to get a handicap, right?
Yeah. But they take your word for it. That's the problem.
Oh, okay.
Yes. That's the unwritten rules and the etiquette of golf is that you're entering in a score that they're trusting you that you're entering in the actual score and that you're scoring it correctly.
Because it's a gentleman's game.
Yeah, and because there's a lot of times, it's a gimme. oh, let's just move this to a better lie over here.
Yeah.
That's, so that, was there that affects that your score.
On? Yeah, is that how you figured out your handicap?
No, no.
That?
Well, it was interesting that during the Pro-Am, I mean, it's all legit. There's no, I mean, people are watching, and yeah, obviously you got pros, and this is for a tournament, so you're having to follow the rules.
That's right.
100%.
If they'll kick Jerry Rice out for using a rangefinder, then you probably should take it seriously.
Yeah, and that is... There is something different of not being able to use any type of measuring device like that. So now you're just going off of the yardage book and just sprinkler heads out there and trying to determine exactly what club to hit. Now, in all reality, it doesn't really matter. I'm not that good to be that specific.
See,
so this, if it's
that's what a ringer
yards,
would say.
No,
a ringer
no,
would say,
no.
Oh, you know, I'm not really that good. Hey, do you guys want to throw a couple bucks on this? You know, I'm not that good, so we just throw a couple dollars
on it. One way to find out, Lonzo, we'll have a golf outing.
That's
you
right.
have to go to this one, though.
Got
to
go.
To the last one.
Yes, it's only been 6 years since you played, so you're
see,
good.
My problem with the last one, well, I have been sick. I'm feeling a lot better now, but I don't have the kind of clothes that you have to wear to go out to
a shirt with a collar on it?
Yes, exactly.
I would have to purchase a shirt with a collar on it that would fit loosely enough for me to.
Well, it's probably time you did that.
Why? I mean, but
yeah, you might need one every once in a while.
For when? No, I have dress shirts. I could go out there and look like Phil.
There you go. Exactly. That's all you need. That's all you need. And if you play like Phil did, that's good.
Yeah,
because I mean, I know he played bad relative to
him. I guarantee
him,
you, I would sweat more than Phil did.
Yeah. All right, Alex Ovechkin is finally going to the Stanley Cup Final. First time in his 13-year career. Washington's first final since 1998 as the Caps beat the Tampa Bay Lightning in Game 7 last night, 4-0. So we're going to give Washington and Las Vegas. Barry Milrose covers hockey for ESPN. And he said the big thing last night was the Caps stars showed up and played well.
All their stars played great, and that's what it takes to win in the NHL. Your best players have to be your best players. I think that was the case with the Washington Capitals all throughout the playoffs. I don't think that was the case for the Tampa Bay Lightning. Best player in the NHL, the leading goal scorer in the NHL, he scores the first goal. He quiets the crowd. Oshie, he's been a fantastic player. Blocking shots, took one in the arm today, threw himself in front of the puck. I can name every good player that the Washington Capitals have, every star that they have. Holtby was great.
Yep.
Didn't play the first two games of the playoffs, and he finishes with back-to-back shutouts in a Game 7 win. So the stars got the job done for the Washington Capitals, and Ovi, you could tell what that means to him. Just a fantastic job.
Yeah, it's good to see. I mean, the big names in the Stanley Cup. So Ovechkin being there, that will make the Stanley Cup interesting to a lot of people that might not otherwise be as interested. So wasn't a great one last night, 4-0, but still a pretty good series.
Yeah, well, you got to read about it this morning.
Yeah, I did.
Instead of watching it last night.
That's good.
Which you,
thank you.
Confirmed you were going to watch that game more
tied up,
than
busy.
The basketball.
Told stuff
you
going
watch
on,
it.
Man.
I know it.
Stuff going on. Busy man. Brooks Orpik with the Capitals, a defenseman, was helped from the ice after a brutal hit from behind by Tampa Bay forward Cedric Paquette in Game 7. Orpik went back to the inboards in his own zone to play the puck. Paquette rammed him in the numbers with Orpik's head hitting the glass in front of him. That's kind of scary. Crumpled to the ice, remained down for about 2 minutes, and there was no penalty on the play. Orpik did not take another shift in the second period. He's averaged 17-plus minutes per game in the last 18 postseason games with 3 assists. So, be interesting to see where he ends up. Orpik, after that hit, I'm watching the replay of it. I'm not sure why that. I mean, I'm not a hockey expert. Looks like that would be a penalty.
Yeah. Well, guess what's going to happen come next season?
What?
The Capitals enforcer is going to be targeting
Paquette.
Paquette, yes.
He will get
paid
back
for it. There will be
retribution
out on the ice.
That's pretty
next year, because obviously they don't have another opportunity.
How long
this
is
year.
A goon's memory?
Oh, they'll hold.
They'll remember.
It. Yeah, they'll remember.
They'll play the video for them right before the first game between the two teams, right? Probably so. All right, so we will get the Stanley Cup coming up, Washington and Las Vegas. I like that. I like that. I think there's something. If you're a fan of hockey at all, then you know Ovechkin, and seeing him play in his first Stanley Cup Finals is cool. And then Las Vegas is a great story.
You get a star on one side, and then you get the Cinderella story on the other side. the NHL has to be loving it right now.
I would think so.
That they got this matchup. And as a very, very casual hockey fan, I love the fact that Vegas is in it. Something different.
Did you talk to Patrick after the game last night?
No, because I'm smart enough not to do that.
Well, he'd be happy, but thrilled.
Yeah, he would be extremely happy.
Listen, he sobs and he weeps, and you don't want to have any of that. I mean, you don't want to talk to someone.
Well, he
while
is a Detroit Lions
doing
fan,
that.
Also.
Yeah, so
something to weep about.
I saw a few posts and a few tweets about it, and yeah, he was. I believe there were tears shed.
Yeah.
So you gonna watch any? I mean,
this is
history. So I mean, I love witnessing history.
Yeah, I think it'll be a great atmosphere at both venues, and I definitely plan to try and actually watch some of it this time.
He's not going to watch.
I'm watching.
He's going to get
I'm all in. How much hockey will be head to head with NBA? Will they try to? Do they try to balance that?
Hopefully, they will. You would think that both leagues would. Now that you're getting into the
finals,
that they've got to look at opportunities of separating the days.
It would make sense.
You don't
sense.
Want them head-to-head.
Yeah,
if
you're going to have days off between, you just got two series going on, you could separate those. I think they probably do, but we'll check on that. 844-477-3776, text line 71307 here in the huddle. Get to the college baseball from yesterday. Tournament play underway and continuing in the ACC and the SEC, and we'll update that coming up. Stay with us, the huddle on ESPN Upstate. South Carolina baseball, they play LSU today. It's not going to start at 2 o'clock. They've already had a rain delay. It's Georgia Ole Miss, I think, is playing right now. And they've had a rain delay there. So that's going to push things back at the SEC tournament in Hoover. But sometime this afternoon, South Carolina will be on the field against LSU in an elimination game. So the Gamecocks have to get it done. Yesterday, the Gamecocks fell to the Arkansas Razorbacks 13-8 at Hoover Met Stadium. Logan Chapman struck out the first two batters of the game, but then walked a couple of guys, and Arkansas jumped out 3-0. Really didn't look back. South Carolina did come back in the game to make it closer, and LT Tolbert of the Gamecocks talked about the scrappiness of the Gamecock team and getting back into the contest before falling yesterday.
Same thing I've seen all year, is resiliency. We put a couple different guys in there and to get some opportunities, and they came up good, and we got some runs back and made it a close game there at the end. That's good to see. Just shows the depth of this team, and also that every single guy on this team is ready to play when they get their opportunity, and we don't ever quit no matter what the score is.
Were you thinking big fly on that second opportunity with the bases loaded?
Not really. I was trying to just get some guys in. That kid was working the corners pretty good, and just try to get at least one in. I was really trying to hit a sack fly, but I think the fastball got in my hands a little bit, so I ended up shooting it through the left side, but it worked out.
How difficult of a turnaround is this now? You go back, and now you have to be back tomorrow for the second game.
It'll be a quick turnaround, but I know we'll be ready. I don't ever think that we think about stuff like that. This team, like I said, we've been resilient all year, and we did well against LSU the first time when they came to our place, so we have confidence going into that game. But we also know that they're a team that we can't take lightly. They've been playing really well lately, but so have we. So it'll be a good game.
That's LT Tolbert. They have a little more rest than they anticipated because they're not starting at 2 o'clock. We'll see when they start. But they can rest up a little bit, sitting around waiting for the game to get going because of the weather situation in Hoover right now. Number 4, Clemson set an ACC tournament record for runs in an inning. 17 runs in the fourth inning yesterday as they beat Notre Dame 21-4 in a 7-inning mercy rule game at Durham Bulls Athletic Park in Durham, North Carolina. Tigers improved to 1-0 in the tournament. That was their first game. And they won their 7th game in a row. Now they've won 44 games on the season, 44-13. So heck of a year for Monty Lee's team. They actually were down 3-0 in that game. I could tell you what happened in the fourth inning, but it would take the rest of the show. So
yes, it would.
I don't think I'll attempt to do that, but suffice to say they were good at the plate yesterday.
And you can at least acknowledge Logan Davidson had a heck of an inning.
He had home runs from both sides of the plate in the same inning.
One of them was a grand slam, wasn't it?
Yes.
Tim Bure, Clemson, says that To put that into perspective, that's happened in Major League Baseball, home run from both sides of the plate in the same inning twice in history in Major League Baseball. All right, so that's rare.
It's very rare. And apparently also from Tim Bray that no Clemson player had ever hit home runs from both sides in a game until Logan Davidson did it last week. And then now he did it again in the same inning.
Yeah, pretty remarkable. So Clemson clearly just had it all going yesterday, and Notre Dame had nothing going, especially on the mound. It just got kind of comical, didn't it?
It did.
Yesterday.
And at that point, could you have even thrown the mercy rule right then? In the fourth inning.
You're the Clemson fan in this room. Do you feel sorry for Notre Dame?
No.
Okay. Good.
Sport.
That's good to know. I just was curious.
No. My concern, though, is that this is what typically happens is you see a team, it's almost like they waste all of their production in one game. It's like, man, we need to save a little bit of that.
Yeah.
Let's save it for the next game.
Yeah, come out and have a 2-1 game in the next game.
So. Your bats go quiet all of a sudden. That's baseball. That happens in other sports as well. You see it in basketball also, is that a team, and we've seen it in these playoffs, how a team can come out on fire next game.
Right.
Not so much.
Yeah. They actually had a batter for Clemson face three different pitchers. You ever heard of that before?
No, I have not.
In one at bat. It happened because, guy threw a wild pitch. They changed pitchers during the at bat. Brought another guy in, and there was a wild pitch play at the plate, and he got hurt, the second pitcher. So he had to come out and brought a third pitcher in to face the same batter. That's kind of crazy. That's how wild that game was yesterday. So it's a 7-seed Miami against the Tigers tonight. Loosely scheduled for 7 o'clock tonight. And the Clemson Tigers will be the designated home team in the game tonight. We'll occupy the third base dugout. So let's see if the Clemson Tigers can win their pool and get into Saturday play. They're looking in good shape right now to do that.
And again, with this pool play, though, they have to win to advance.
Well,
they're out, right?
No.
I thought this was basically an elimination game.
No, because
they can't advance.
Well, what did Miami do yesterday?
Yeah, I think Miami won, right?
Okay, then they'll be 2-0, and I guess you're right.
Yeah.
If they're all 1-1, Clemson, if anybody else is 1-1, Clemson goes as a higher seed, which is a dumb rule, isn't it? If you're the higher seed, if you do the same thing another team does in the tournament and you stay home because you're a lower seed, would you be happy with that?
I don't think so.
I would not either. So anyway, I guess that's the case. Tigers look good to go into Saturday play in Durham and then, of course, win that one and play for the championship on Sunday. So we'll see how deep they go. And again, they want to be a little careful with pitching because all this doesn't really matter that much other than the potential for a national seed.
So it matters a lot.
Well,
yes. Yeah. They want that national seed.
I got it.
Keep the momentum going.
All right. So throw all the pitchers at them and burn them up. You don't care?
Well, but if it's 21-4, maybe not.
Yeah, right. Probably
not. I think you can back off at that point.
Yeah. All right. We'll see when the Tigers play, but whenever they play tonight, we will have it for you right here on ESPN Upstate. Duke and Wake Forest are tied at 2-2. And they're going to extra innings. So there's the start to the day. It's already behind schedule.
Already a log jam.
Yeah. Already, and it's
this is what
not
happens.
Even 2 o'clock.
Go to a home run derby right now and settle it. It'll be over in 15 minutes.
They may need to do that. 844-477-3776. Back in a moment in the huddle on ESPN Upstate. Chance to win $1,000 minutes away with another keyword, free cash stash on ESPN Upstate. So check it out. 844-477-3776. Don't forget radio.com. That's our new home for listening live on your smartphone. Radio.com. Download the app. Look up ESPN Upstate, and you will find us there. Very useful and easy-to-use interface to listen. Radio.com is the app. Let's go back to the phones. Jason, you are next in the huddle. What's up?
Oh, yeah. I just want to know why you guys never talk about the greatest football coach of all time, Jim Harbaugh, and I'll leave you with that.
All right, Jason. Thank you. Well, first of all, we talk about Jim Harbaugh a lot.
I got to say, Jim Harbaugh has probably talked about more than just about any other coach on the show.
Now, not in the context of him being the greatest football coach of all time.
So there's where he's asking, let's talk about him being the greatest coach.
All right, well, we're going to make up for this. What would you like to make up for the guy that finished fourth place
in
the
Big Ten? He needs to win a Big Ten championship.
Or at least win his division.
Right.
Win his division.
He's at least got to beat Ohio State.
He is the greatest khaki-wearing coach of all time.
He's taking his team to South Africa next year. Did you hear that?
Which is really cool.
I have no complaints about that.
I don't either.
Cool trips for his guys.
I am all about these guys trying to do whatever it takes to showcase the world for these guys, these players, that is. Why not? I'm all about experiences, and especially early on in life like that. Hopefully these guys actually are mature enough to appreciate, you know, where they're going, because I know when I was that age, I don't think I would have been able to appreciate it.
No, our trips were Carowinds. Maybe. If we were lucky. Six Flags.
There's
back
international
in the day.
Flair there, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. There's a border there at Carowinds you can
there
cross
is.
Over.
You can cross, that's right.
You can stand on each side of that. That's pretty cool. Jason did the kind of hit and run there, but on what would you base him being the greatest coach of all time? I would ask Jason that question. That's all. On what do you base that?
I think you probably would base it on the fact that he had to deal with the coaches that came before him, and compared to them, he's the greatest coach of all time.
I think we saw the stat. His record's like identical to Brady Hoke's.
Yes, it's not that much different. He just gets more exposure because he's more out there than Brady Hoke.
I'm not saying
he's good for college football.
Yeah, I'm not saying he's a bad coach. He did certainly some things at other places. He hasn't done anything in Michigan. Not yet. He's done some things at other places, and maybe he will do that. But I do think it's cool that he's taking these kids all over the place. They returned from a team-wide trip to France last month, visited Paris and Normandy. A year ago, they traveled to Italy. So they're taking great annual trips. And Harbaugh's talked about South Africa before. It's on his bucket list. He said at an event earlier this month, he had been considering Spain, Greece, and Cuba as potential sites. I'd rather go to South Africa than Cuba.
That's I think I would, too. And you have to admire Jim Harbaugh's brilliance here in terms of, I presume he's able to take these trips on university's dime.
Yeah, they're flush with money, so.
Yeah, so, I mean, but he's not paying for it out of his personal pocket.
Oh, no.
So, why not? Travel the world on the university.
Actually, it's donors that finance the trips.
Well,
two donors.
Still,
Bobby,
it's not coming out of his pocket.
Bobby Kotick and Don Graham, a couple of wealthy Michigan donors, finance the trips.
I'm trying to put myself in a parent's shoes as far as this goes. I think I'd be a little concerned. I mean, I understand where they're getting to go. I mean, they went to the Vatican. I mean, that's pretty cool. But at the same time, with the way things are in the world, I think I'd be a little worried.
I'm sure you would worry about your kid going over there, but you'd let him go,
right? Is that a selling point, or is that, if you're trying to help your child decide, you think that puts some recruits over the edge, the fact that they get to go on these trips?
Yeah, it could help. I think it'd help. You know, it's unique. Nobody else is doing this, right?
If uniforms can sway somebody, you have to think that a trip like this
There's no way that sway. Uniform could ever sway anybody.
That's a classic uniform.
Uniforms are very important. I promise you.
Yeah.
Why you see these schools investing all this type of money in these different types
maize
of looks.
Maize and blue, it's like mashed up corn or something.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.